The mystery wrapped in the enigma of what it costs to provide health care as the Supreme Court takes this on. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When it comes to medical care, it helps to know how much things actually cost. Itemized bills can be helpful. Waste can be hidden in lump sum totals. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to take up a case that could make it much harder to know how much a large employer pays hospitals and doctors. While that could benefit some companies short term, some say this could derail larger efforts to change how much we pay for our health care. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
18 states have created databases that track the prices public and private insurers pay for medical care. The idea here, says UCLA health law professor Allison Hoffman, is to leverage this data to drive better deals with hospitals and doctors.
These states are trying to be innovators in terms of looking at what we're paying for in healthcare and how much we're paying for it.
The plaintiff in the case, Liberty Mutual, argues the state can't make the company share information on the deals it's cut with providers. Under federal law, employers have lots of latitude to craft their own plans. University of Michigan law professor Nicholas Bagley says the question before the court is whether sharing data alters those plans.
Employers are required to adhere to state tax law, all sorts of laws that may have implications for their employee benefit plans, but that don't relate to those plans within the meaning of the law.
It's certainly possible by publicizing rates, some companies stand to pay more. But Bagley points out, by publicizing rates, other companies stand to pay less. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
So how much do you plan to get done today? Only you can answer that. In the aggregate, it's the duty of the Bureau of Labor Statistics to monitor American productivity with its latest revision for the summer quarter due today. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on some warning signs.
The productivity rate isn't about how hard people work, but about how much output we generate. Chad Severson says it's one of the most important measures of the economy.
Because in the long run, all economic growth is tied to productivity growth, period.
He's an economist at the University of Chicago.
Because it's a gauge of sort of the long-run growth rate of the economy, it tells you a lot about the relationship between how fast economic growth can be before inflation sets in.
The last few years, productivity has been growing at about 0.5%. Patrick Newport of research firm IHS says that's about a quarter of what it's been since the 1940s. At this low rate, he says it would take 144 years to double living standards.
If it's running at 2.1%, its normal rate, living standards double every 35 years.
In other words, those humble productivity numbers can tell us whether living standards will jump for your kids or your great-great-great-great-grandkids. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
An NFL owner is upset with the quality of a stadium, so the owner is doing that thing, threatening to go somewhere else. Jason Rosenbaum of St. Louis Public Radio has more on how city leaders there are responding.
For people in St. Louis, building a new stadium next to the Mississippi River seems like a surefire way to create a lot of jobs and revamp a drab section of town. But St. Louis Alderman Tamika Hubbard sees a higher purpose at play, keeping the wildly popular National Football League anchored in the city.
We're a sports town, and people are just excited for us to continue to have a team in St. Louis.
St. Louis Rams owner Stan Kroenke is angling to move his NFL squad to Inglewood, California. So Hubbard is sponsoring a bill providing the city's funding portion of a roughly $1 billion stadium. In addition to private funds, the stadium's cost incorporates hundreds of millions of dollars worth of state, city, and event-related taxes. Backers see the new facility as an economic driver for surrounding parking lots, restaurants, and hotels. And former Anheuser-Busch president Dave Peacock points to intangible benefits of keeping the NFL.
We can't keep losing things. We can't keep being a city going backwards. And I believe building is better than letting dilapidated areas stay the way they are.
But St. Louis University economics professor Bonnie Wilson thinks St. Louis's economy will be just fine without the Rams.
People aren't just sitting at home twiddling their thumbs. They're going out and doing other things. And the economic activity that non-sports entertainment generates seems to have a stronger effect than sports entertainment.
Count former state representative Jeanette Mott Oxford among stadium skeptics. She now leads a social welfare group and says the stadium plan demonstrates skewed priorities, especially with lingering crime and poverty problems afflicting the city.
Like one that was cited in debate recently was our high infant mortality rate in the city. Why not direct tax dollars to something as sad as children dying before their first birthday?
Ultimately, any relocation requires a sign-off from three-fourths of the NFL's owners. And their decision could come down to whether city leaders believe the benefits of the NFL outweigh the public costs. In St. Louis, I'm Jason Rosenbaum for Marketplace.
The Zuckerberg's new charitable outfit will be a for-profit company for interesting reasons. Among other things, nonprofits cannot lobby. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.